This is the Foodle Podcast with Zach and Ian. And if you want to reach us, you can reach us at ian.strope@gmail.com.
There's a guy who makes internet, this independent filmmaker, I guess, who, have you heard about this? That, like, this guy made this Batman.
Oh, he made the Boy Wonder Robin movie trailer? Is it that we're talking about?
No. This guy made, it was a short, but it was like half an hour or something like that. And it had really good, like, decent effects and acting, like nobody actors and stuff like that. But, really good effects and cinematography. And, he made a Batman, he made a Justice League movie. And then he made a Batman versus Aliens versus Predator movie.
Weird.
And they're both, and you can watch them online. And I've only seen bits and pieces of the Batman Alien Predator one.
I've heard the Justice League. There's some Justice League thing,
but they're both supposedly very good.
Like, really?
Yeah.
I'd heard about like some TV pilot Justice League thing that was just awful.
I don't know about that. Did you hear about the Justice League movie? And it's going to be directed by Steven...
I've heard so much stuff about it that I don't even know what's going on. Like, I had heard... I guess there was rumors about Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson being in it. Then there was rumors that Maggie and Jake Gyllenhaal are going to be in it as, like, the Wonder Twins.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, this movie would be so...
Well,
like,
it's... First of all, it's going
to
be...
Easy to do right.
It's going to be the guy who directed Van Helsing making it.
Oh, what is his name?
Steven something.
Steven
Summers. Or something like that, yeah. And I think he did Blade, the first one.
Okay.
Or that's Stephen Norrington. Is that who I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
One of those guys. The Mummy?
Stephen Summers did The Mummy, yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of Stephen Norrington then, who did The First Blade. I could be wrong. Anyway, I saw a thing on Rotten Tomatoes where they're like, the rumor is that this guy's going to be the director. And then all the comments were like, no!
But was it like someone started, the first one had an N and like three O's, the next one just had more O's, and
it was
the next
something
one just
like
had
that.
More O's?
It was something like that. Everyone was just upset. And then, so they were like, and then the next day there was something that said, don't worry, that was just a rumor. And everyone was like, woo. And then like a week later, they're like, he's confirmed as the director. And everyone was like, no.
Oh, wow.
So I guess other people than you are really obsessed with Justice League after watching your...
JLU, man. Justice League. There was something cool in the end of it, though.
Unlimited.
Because it was awesome. No, you could do it right, but it's not going to be right.
Let me ask you, what's so unlimited about it?
Okay.
Explain that.
I will explain. The Justice League, which had two full seasons of 26 episodes each, or four full seasons of 13, I don't know, however you want to do it, included the big three. The big three being Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman. It also included Green Lantern.
The Martian dude?
The Martian Manhunter.
Mm-hmm.
And the Flash.
Okay.
Who's my favorite.
Okay.
In that group. I mean, in the dynamic of that group, the Flash was my favorite.
The Flash who's Superman without all the other powers?
No, the Flash can just move really fast.
Yeah. Which is Superman minus all the powers except for speed.
Pretty much. Well, actually, the Flash is
what a worthless guy to have on a team who already has Superman.
The Flash is faster than Superman.
Faster than Superman?
Yeah, they've established
Did you see
it.
When Superman flew around the world and made it go backwards? That would you'd have to go really fast.
Well, I don't know. They haven't made a Flash movie yet, so we'll see. You got to compare it in context.
Just a little aside here that usually takes a long time. Did you ever see the Flash TV show?
With Barry?
Yeah.
And with Dawson's dad?
Yeah. Did you watch that? It was on for a season or two.
With Mark Hamill as the trickster?
Yeah. What do you think about that show?
Did I watch it?
Yeah.
with the Danny
Elfman
soundtrack?
I get it.
It has not left my brain
I get the
ever.
Joke. You watched the show.
I watched some of it. I kept waiting for it to get better.
I wish you would have said after that, I watched one episode.
I watched a few of them, and I kept waiting for it to get better, but it was kind of just stupid. I don't know. It's too bad. Because it really looked like it had the production value of, like, the Batman.
Yeah, no, it totally looked like it, yeah.
It tried to do that for a bit, but it was just like, nah, it didn't work. Anyway, so that was...
It was darkly humorous, too.
It did have some of that, yeah. So that was the original Justice League, just the regular Justice League. And then Aquaman is kind of an uneasy ally of theirs at a certain point. And then at the end of that, at the end of Justice League, there was Hawk Girl also.
Yeah.
They had this whole three-part episode where the Thanagarians, which are the Hawk people, came to Earth, and it turned out she had been a spy sent ahead, and they were going to Earth so that way they could use it to create some wormhole pathways to save their world and their race. And it became a real, like, crazy shit went down. And essentially it was an alien force that they couldn't... It took, like, the full might of the Justice League to take him out, and it destroyed their watchtower and everything. So then when Justice League Unlimited happened, it was all in, like a recontextualization of what... of sort of an organized superhero structure. Rather than just being a group of, like, six people that were kind of hanging out and realized that when there's a big problem, they need to work together, it was like, we need to just organize everything and have it set up into teams and everything. So it's super bureaucratically organized, like group. So that was the Unlimited part. Because I'd imagine that it's basically just Tim's excuse to put in every one of his favorite comic book characters that, like, weren't popular in the... Like, there's a whole episode that's just about Booster Gold.
wow.
And Supergirl's in it a decent bit, and the Atom and stuff.
Well, since you're a big fan of cartoons especially, what do you think of the... have you ever watched Teen Titans?
I've seen some of them.
What do you think about that? I think one thing that's weird about it is how they've given it the anime look to it, and when people have certain expressions, they do it in a really dramatic,
it's definitely an anime thing.
Yeah.
I think that Tim was somewhat involved in that, but I'm not sure how.
Like in the beginning, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe just really, really...
Well, it kind of has like the Tim and Dini like design kind of thing to it, like a little bit, because the Robin character looks a little bit like in one of the various
anime like take on the Tim design, and it is the Tim design. He is the one that comes up with those initial designs on some of them, at least from the beginning, from the get-go. I mean, other people have come in, and Tim hasn't probably boarded much. He probably did do some JLU stuff. He probably did the Captain Marvel Superman fight. I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure he did. But with Teen Titans, I would watch a couple of them, and it was a more goofy show. But I kept trying to, like, because I'm such a continuity junkie, I kept going, okay, there's Robin. Robin is Batman's protege. This world doesn't seem to have a Batman, but it sort of seems to have a Gotham City. And I knew that there was, at one point, Robin was fighting, like, the main bad guy, like, above, like, a Wayne Enterprises building.
Really?
And I kept thinking, well, maybe the main bad guy in this, like, alternate universe or something is actually Bruce Wayne. It's like the psychosis of it went the other way.
I wonder how they explain the bureaucracy of the whole thing, where that... certain superheroes have, like, jurisdiction in their cities, kind of, and then, like, you know...
Oh, yeah, well, it's like...
So Batman gives Robin out on loan to the Teen Titans, right? And he's allowed to work with them for a certain, like, a few days a week, but he can't do it on Sundays.
No, it's never explained.
Like, you know, yeah,
it's,
I mean, that's
just
the thing.
Robin
holidays
exists
yeah.
in this world, and there is no Batman. As far as I can tell, there is no Batman. And so it's like, okay, at a certain point, I'm like, I don't really care about this show. So I'm not a huge, huge, huge cartoon fan, I guess. I try to be, but... Sorry, Teen Titans. Didn't do it for me. And the new Batman, I was super against, because the old Batman... It was kind of like, why bother?
You're talking about
the new Batman cartoon.
The one called The Batman?
That's got the Edge does the soundtrack.
The
opening theme for. First of all, Batman... They like made him seem younger.
Right.
He seems kind of hip and kid-like,
yeah.
But he sounds really weird as Bruce Wayne. He doesn't sound right, and the animation style is really awful. Though I did see part of it. I guess they did a the Batman versus the Dracula episode, and it was violent as holy hell. It was on at like 8 o'clock in the afternoon on or 8 o'clock at night on Toonami one time, and it had like a TV-14.
Really,
he ends up at a blood bank at some point, like, and there's all these vials of blood in the back room, and he starts fighting Dracula, and he just gets like covered in blood, like these things start breaking everything, and I'm like, this is pretty. Gruesome for a... So in that sense, it kind of pisses me off that the new Batman is probably able to show and get away with a lot more than they ever were with the old one.
In case you were interested, Peter and David Paul are now fighting each other because they had a little tiff.
Aww.
And so it's interesting to watch these two twins roll down stairs together, which is all they've done so far. They roll down like four flights of stairs. That's the fifth, I think. Now they're rolling over cars. They're going to... oh, smash them on the hood. Oh, car stops. Let me guess, he's going to throw him into the car again. Oh, he's putting him in. Oh, he's banging
door.
His.
He's
doing it wrong.
He's doing it. You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. He smashed his face into the front of the car door. What you're supposed to do is put it in between the door jamb and the door, and then, like in
Where's my money?
Like in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
With the door, With the what was that hospital room door?
Was that the Chuck guy or Buck or whatever
his name
was?
Chuck.
I always think of Chuck and Buck because that stuff always rhymes with all the. Have you ever seen Chuck and Buck?
No, I haven't. Isn't it pretty screwed up?
Yeah.
Wow, this fight is going on. This is probably the fight that inspired.
Oh, it's a China shop. You get it?
Uh-huh.
Too bad it's not Yui Bowl in there.
But this is probably the fight scene that inspired the Family Guy to do the chicken fight.
No. Actually, they I read somewhere that they mostly took that from the They Live fight.
Really?
Yeah, even though it's in one location, they said that just gave them the idea to just because, I mean, this does go all over the place, but I'm pretty sure that this has never inspired anyone to do anything. Except for smoke weed, probably.
This inspires me to...
And now they're laughing. Oh, Jose Canseco, I love you. It's Jose and Ozzy Canseco. Yeah, that's Jose's brother. You know, he looks a lot like him too. These guys totally look like Jose Canseco with huge blown up shoulders.
You need to know what a crumpet is and know how to play cricket.
And now they're eating, and the guy tells the cop, "Hey man, do you even realize what you're eating?" And he says, "I'm eating a hamburger." And he's like, "That's so bad for you." And he's like, "He seriously, right there, he talks about like eating salads and stuff." He's drinking a milkshake from a hummingbird feeder, it looks like. They didn't even bother changing before they went out to eat.
Maybe it was on the way back.
Maybe. Hey, before we change, you want to stop off at this burger place? I'm getting kind of hungry.
The other guy's over there looking like Mr. Brown or something like that.
And then they talk about their problems and nice earring.
Two brothers talking about problems.
Is that was that a tie clip on his collar?
Yeah, that's the tie clip.
I didn't think that you put tie clips on the top of your collar like that. I thought they went on the actual bulk of the tie, down where the tail is, so it goes across your shirt and doesn't flap around when you bend over to throw up or whatever.
I have no idea.
Because that's what most people do when they're wearing ties.
Oh, see, there you go. It's got it underneath the tie.
Okay, all right.
Now still the other guy's look
right.
A suit.
Oh, and he doesn't feel right.
Because it's not a...
Like such a tool.
I feel like people won't know that I'm a Raiders fan if I win.
This doesn't show my lower abdomen. Double Trouble. Good movie.
Fantastic.
You know what's interesting is that this movie is so childlike and moronic with these two guys, yet there's actually quite a few violent gunshot deaths in it, which is, like, it just seems out of place. I know it's rated R or whatever, but...
Did his partner get killed and, like, they just haven't cared? They just started, like, fighting?
I don't know if that was his partner.
Around.
That was just another cop who was escorting them, because I think he had to throw away his badge and his gun. I think they had that one of those scenes.
Kevin McDonald, kind of. Watch! They're gonna turn to the other. This is like Blues Brothers, but with two big meathead mullets.
Yeah.
How much for the women?
The one on the right just looked at the camera a second ago. That wasn't good. They should have.
Retook that.
There's Roddy.
Not to be confused with Rowdy.
No, I wish Roddy Piper was in this too. Actually,
that would be. I think it would have to.
What
be
else is Roddy Piper in besides They Live?
Oh man. I
don't
think
of anything?
What else?
What's your favorite movie with a wrestler in it?
Give me a second.
Well, it's
take very long. I'm just composing myself here. Suburban Commando with Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Okay, I was about to say excluding Hulk Hogan because he was... Because I thought you were just going to name the Rocky film he was in.
As Clubber Lee?
No, Clubber Lang was...
Clubber Lang was
Mr. T. But he was in that one. I think that he had like a...
I could say Spider-Man had Macho Man Randy Savage as Bonesaw.
Yeah, nice, nice, nice. That's a good one.
But it didn't feature him prominently.
No, it doesn't have to feature
him. I could say Assault on Devil's Island, the made-for-TBS movie, made-for-TNT movie
yeah,
with
that
him.
Had, that had like tons of...
It
yeah.
had Carl Weathers and him.
Well, you know, it's got, they've got this thing now where the WWE is making, is producing films.
Oh, yeah, I know. So they did that,
yeah,
that
they
one.
They did that John Cena one, and they did that one recently that... Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and all those other guys were in it, where they were all
killing
each other
on
the island.
On Film Dunk. What did they
say?
They loved that. They said it was great. It was good fun. I forget what it was called. The Condemned.
Then,
that's what it's called.
Okay, The Condemned. And there's that one called See No Evil or Hear No Evil, the one with Kane, the other wrestler. That was another that horror movie. Gosh, I think there's a and there's another one coming out with Kane in it, I think.
Well, isn't he the new Michael Myers? There's some
big guy. You're right. I think he was.
It just came out this weekend. Yeah. The new Rob Zombie-ified version of Halloween.
Have you read any reviews of that at all? Because I'd only heard a couple of kind of hearsay reviews from people who worked at the theater and saw the preview before it came out on Friday. And they said it was awesome. And they said that they actually appreciated the backstory elements that were put into it, which I guess is a much larger bulk of it this time.
Hmm.
And that it really focuses on Michael Myers' past and the reasons why things happen in the film as opposed to...
Just a killer.
Yeah, and one thing I thought was kind of cool is Rob Zombie was like, even though it's a horror movie, was taking an approach to it. Like he said, one thing that always bothered him, the original one, was that Michael Myers was a kid, killed some people, gets sent to this asylum, grows up there, and then when he escapes, he drives a car back. You know, when did he learn to drive a car? He's crazy, you know.
Uh-huh.
So he said, you know, he will not be driving a car in this film. He gets back, you know. I don't know. He takes the bus.
That's
a
nice little touch. Yeah,
stuff like that. I appreciate. I really disliked House of a Thousand Corpses. The more I thought about Devil's Rejects, I appreciate it a little bit more. But House of a Thousand Corpses was so awful. Was so incredibly disjointed.
Was that the first one?
Yeah. It was so disjointed and terribly shot and colored and had just threw characters in that you hadn't even seen or heard of, like, and just weird looking guys.
So was this first he had to cut his teeth, and so maybe
maybe I just think it's interesting that like he decided to keep using those characters for a sequel because the sequel.
But then you liked the sequel, right?
Well, I hated it when I first saw it. I thought it was terrible, and then the more I thought about it, the more I appreciate it because I like the kind of dusty, just like. These guys are like back home, you know, like drifter, like, you know, people who like kill people who come into their woods and stuff like that.
So it essentially sounds like it's like a Texas Chainsaw.
But they're on the road, and it just becomes interesting. He actually starts using some like I don't know, there's some like social commentary and a lot of social commentary in it, and I don't know.
A lot of horror movies do have social commentary,
but it's a different type. It's like, gosh, you know, and I can't even tell you what it is. I'd have to watch it again. But I remember thinking the whole time. I was thinking. This is different than other horror movies I've seen, and I didn't like it at first. And the more I've thought about it, I haven't watched it again, but I think I would like it better the second time around.
Hmm.
So I'm interested to see what he does with this, and I think he also got the rights to do another remake of something. I don't remember what it was.
Oh.
I know they're redoing...
They're redoing a hell of a lot of stuff.
Friday the 13th, I think. I think they're starting over.
They're redoing Jacob's Ladder.
Really? With who?
I don't know. But
who's directing?
I don't know. I don't know why you would remake that movie.
There's no need to remake that. That's not even a horror film. Bravo does those things where they say, you know, like 100 scariest horror movie
moments.
Oh,
yeah, I've
like
seen
that
stuff. Yeah.
And there's they always put Jacob's Ladder scenes in there. And
that movie was really creepy.
It is creepy.
Freaky,
it is creepy.
I saw that when I was like 10.
I don't think you can say it's a horror film, though.
Really
I think
left
it's,
me. It bothered
like
me when I was 10.
It's like a psychological, creepy thriller thing. Oh, yeah. It's a great film. I love Adrian Lyne.
I haven't seen it
in a
while. I
think Adrian Lyne's a great director. Have you ever seen Lolita, his version?
No, what? I've seen the Kubrick version.
Yeah. What do you think about Kubrick's version?
I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
With Carol Quimby.
Yeah.
And what was his name? James Mason.
Yeah. The new one is not. I don't know. Adrian Lyne can do any sort of comedy. It's got a couple of funny moments in it, but it was just. I don't know. It was very well done. I think it was very well done. And Lolita's one of my favorite novels. I think Nabokov was probably the best writer I've ever read. And now they're dressed in towels, and they locked a guy in the tanning booth. Oh, he looks terrible.
Ha ha.
Poor guy.
I like how his face got burned, too, even though his face wasn't in the booth.
Yeah, part. His face was kind of hanging out the booth. Oh, they gave him skin cancer. How could they?
The whole point is that, I'm sorry, but if you're a dirtbag with a mullet, even if you put a suit on, you still look like a dirtbag.
You know what? Those guys, even if they didn't have mullets, would still look like dirtbags because they're huge, bulky, overblown guys. And I don't know if they could not look that way.
That's
I mean,
true.
They're obviously bodybuilders.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger
never looked like a
dirtbag. No, you know what? Early on,
the first Terminator movie?
No. What's it called? The first movie he was ever in.
Pumping Iron?
No.
Oh, that one that's like dubbed where he's like supposed to be
Hercules
in
New York? No. The Altman movie, Long Goodbye.
Uh-huh.
He's in it for
that's right.
Yeah, he's in it for like a minute, and he stands there. He doesn't say anything. And he's so big that he almost looks like those guys, but not quite. Not quite, because he always had lots of definition, and like he had a longer neck and everything like that. Later on, though, he really started to, like, I don't know why I'm not talking, we're talking about, like, Schwarzenegger's body here. Later on, he's, like, in the Terminator films, he was wearing, like, leather jackets and things that they, I don't know if they were, like, that guy looks like Ronnie Cox, the red guy.
You mean Ronnie McDowell?
No, the red guy who was just yelling at him on the phone. He looked like Ronnie Cox as he was yelling for a second.
Maybe that's about cornflakes. See that picture of Ronnie Cox I put up on the podcast?
Yeah, that was good. Very good. Be home in time for cornflakes. Is that Ronnie Cox?
No, it's not Ronnie Cox.
Come on, you gotta help me out here. I wonder if Ronnie Cox is dead.
No, he's not.
He's not? Well,
he was on some of the new Stargate seasons. He's like the vice president or something like that.
I wouldn't watch that
stuff.
I don't either.
I just turn it on whenever I'm cooking for some reason. It's good to have in the background.
You turn it on when you're doing cocaine?
No, when I'm cooking. No, but the whole cocaine thing reminds me of... the first episode of Metalocalypse that I ever saw was on last Sunday.
Roxo.
And it was the one with Dr. Roxo. Yeah. I forgot that he was
Dr. I do cocaine.
And he's like, but seriously, you kicked my ass. That was not cool, baby. Yeah. He's like, put the boots to him, medium style. And then the best part is just how, whenever he's running around, he's like, yeah. Then he jumps off the building or something.
I liked how,
let's see where he's going.
There were a couple of things I liked in that, but yeah, nor any other character in every other episode who ever like tries to do something like that, they end up killing, brutally murdering.
Murderalizing.
And they immortalized them. And they didn't in this case.
That was brutal.
Oh, man.
Hit that guy with a car.
Got him. Bill Mummy.
Lanier.
So they, back up.
Gotta be sure.
He's backing up over him.
Bill Mummy was also
poor
the
man's Ronnie Cox. Oh, he's dead.
Bill Mummy was also the little kid from Lost in Space.
Right. And now he's a...
One more time. He's not going to do
it. Is that a Thunderbird? He just ran him over with a crappy Thunderbird.
Yeah, he sure did.
What was I just talking about? Okay. So, then the music video, which was obviously supposed to be a David Lee Roth thing. But
that music video was hilarious.
I just like how they keep cutting to the same shot.
See my junk!
Yeah, and reversing it and then putting a different color on it where he jumps up and does the split thing. And they just keep cutting to that same shot. The same shot of him jumping. And they show it upside down.
That was the point where I'm watching it that I'm like, this show is ridiculously funny. I just started to have like a psychotic break and just started laughing for like 5 minutes.
It really is a great show. Brent Small, I think, is a really intelligent, funny guy.
Well, he writes that one with Tom Blanchard.
Yeah, right.
He's always had a co-writer. This writer is different than the guy that he had for home movies.
So this guy's better then.
No.
In my opinion.
Fine. You're
IMO.
Yes.
IMHO.
There's no H. John Benjamin in this show. Or at least he hasn't been featured very much if he isn't.
Uh-oh. Scotty's angry. I'm out of here, Chief. You can take this badge and shove it up your scotch-drinking butt.
It does have a great line at Metalocalypse where they're in their little hot tub thing. And then Toki like runs off to go see Dr. Oxo.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, don't run. It's wet.
Yeah. Yeah, Toki's like their child, kind of. Yeah.
He's the nice one. He gets like the Teen Choice Award and stuff.
Yeah. He's not necessarily always the nice one. He's just kind of the dumb one. Yeah, that one where he decides to become, yeah.
It's just like, I wrecked evil right? Yeah. Demon.
And then that girl, and then they sing that hilarious song at the end of it, and then
that shit was bothersome.
Yeah,
it was
and tough then
to watch.
He turns her around and she's dead, and he screams throughout through the credits. Yeah, they always end on such like disturbing images.
Or the one where Murderface tries to find religion, and he's like, it's all the same crap.
Yeah,
he's like, does anyone know where there's a good bar around here?
I like. I think my favorite episodes are the ones where Murderface is kind of featured. Not the ones where he's like really depressed or anything like the birthday one, but where he, the one about the one with the super finger master guitar class show one, whatever it was, and how he's the one who kept talking about Zazz, and the rest of them joined in about Zazz, and then during the show they all came to help out, and you know, and maybe add a little Zazz to the proceedings, and then. The floorboard opened up and Pickles popped up and goes, did someone ask for Zazz? Or something like that, you know? And then that one where they're doing the employee evaluations is absolutely fantastic. When they're Toki's upset because he can't write any or ask any of the questions. And well, first of all, the questions are terrible. And he's like, Squizguard, you write these? He goes, yes, I did. You know, and then like,
you got a problem.
Yeah. And then Toki gets asked a question. And then, but Murderface is like, more importantly, how are you feeling today? And then at the end, he leans over the guy who's trying to kill them and says, can you do me a huge favor? Can you have a great day?
Or when they find out they can fire their shrink.
Yeah,
I just found out we can give ourselves raises. Apparently, I just learned that.
I give myself a raise right now. Yeah,
I do too. Me too.
And then the one where he's doing the spelling bee thing.
The spelling bee was good. Yeah. Did you like the one where he was trying to start his own solo band?
Yeah, Planet Piss. Planet Piss. Yeah.
He's like, the key here is diversity. I forget what he was. There was some key. And then he's like, I'm just so busy right now. He's like, well, that's the kind of problem to have. That's the kind of problem that you want to have. Yeah.
He's like, well, let's start. Let's go. He's like, I'm ready to do it. He's like, let's do it.
We've been talking for 4 hours here. He's like, oh, crap.
And then it's like the same exact music as like, except for him singing. Okay, so this guy just ran. Here's the thing that bothers me about.
He's got a hard hat. He's got his Raiders outfit.
People's
on now.
Periphery in movies is terrible. You can't see someone walking up to your side. You know the thing in horror films is someone like you turn around, there's a guy there. You can tell when there's a guy behind you. You know,
yeah.
Nobody can sneak up on people that well. Somebody jumps into the back of jumps onto the this truck drove past and he ran over and jumped and grabbed the back of the car. First of all, this guy weighs 250 pounds probably, and he jumped onto the back of the truck and then like put his feet up on the bumper and then like hid so the guy couldn't see him, right?
And then Bill Mummy just like hit him with a glove to demand how would the guy satisfaction who's driving, and that knocked him out.
He demanded satisfaction.
Ricardo Montalban.
No. How does the driver of that truck not feel, first of all, not see this guy jumping onto the back of his truck?
I don't know.
Back to the Future. How does the guy not see him riding along with the skateboard?
Maybe that guy was also listening to Huey Lewis, and he was just so into the news.
Maybe that guy's the same driver. Maybe he just doesn't. His rearview mirror doesn't work.
Maybe he lied. And he has really crappy peripheral vision.
By the way, every time we pause and it sounds like we're like not reacting to each other's comments, is because we're watching this great movie.
We're enthralled by Roddy McDowall as a villain.
He was on this terrible Mystery Science Theater movie. The budget had to be like $2,000. It was shot on video. It was just awful.
Was that the one with Raul Julia?
No, just him. Him and then he was like he was a doctor in it. This dude had like a gem in his chest. Have you seen that?
No.
And like he ends up prying it out and then it just grows back. And he puts his arm in this gun and kind of turns into this alien thing and like blows things up with the gun. And then at the end some aliens come and kill him. It was terrible.
Wow. It sounds like a winner.
I wish Mystery Science Theater was still going. They could have just kept going forever. I don't know why they stopped. Like they all went on to great careers.
Well, no, the thing is, like, it moved to Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah. And they didn't want to renew them or what?
No, and it was on, like, at one point it was on at a reasonable time. It was still on in the mornings. It was on at, like, 11 or something.
It was 11. I remember that. But, on Saturdays.
On Saturdays. Yeah. And so, but then I could have sworn they moved it and it was airing at 6 o'clock in the morning or something. I remember because I used to tape them down in Riverside.
Yeah, right.
Down when I lived in Riverside, I'd tape them because none of us would be awake that early. And then we'd watch them that afternoon or that evening. And I think they might have been old sci-fi episodes that they were just rerunning. But they had a good number. I mean, they watched, like, Carnosaur 2. And
yeah, right.
They watched
yeah.
Hobgoblins and Puma Man.
Puma.
Well, have you seen that one?
Yeah, I've seen pretty much every
one. With Donald Pleasance?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of the older ones, like the ones with Joel and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those. Actually, there's a site, msd3ktapes.com, that you can go and this guy records. He has them all. And the only ones he can't sell to you are the ones that Rhino owns the rights to. But now Rhino is starting to make more of them, so
yeah.
This guy is having to take more and more off his site. I have the entire 6th season, 7th season, 10th season, and just and one other. I have the entirety of them. And
oh,
I have a
wow.
bunch of Rhino ones also.
But the thing is, the shorts are great.
The shorts are fantastic.
Did you see the one about the springs?
Yes.
Where it's springy?
Yeah.
Did you see the one about railway safety?
Yes.
Where the guy gets his eyes blinded?
Yeah.
With gentle pressure.
Because the guy turns around, yeah.
Did you see the one about the guy that had a heart attack? It was also railway safety, and he killed the guy's son? He killed the guy's dad, and then
I've seen all of them, but it's off and on. Yeah, anytime I find one with a short, it's just fantastic.
Gentle pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So then you've got to have seen that Autor movie then. They did a Mystery Science Theater about it. And they're trying to explain about how, he all of a sudden...
What
just,
was the movie?
It was some Sword and Sorcerer movie. And he all of a sudden builds, a hang glider. He doesn't have it at the end. And they're trying to
I'm sure
out
I have, but I just don't... I never know. I never remember the names of any of the movies.
I don't know
do.
What the name of the movie
there
is.
There is one
sure
that I haven't seen.
Autor.
I saw it once, and it was fantastic. And it was probably one of the worst movies they ever did. It was called Space Mutiny.
Oh, man.
And I saw Space Mutiny in a bargain bin somewhere, like a Kmart yesterday. And on the back, it was as seen on Mystery Science Theater. And I was thinking, why don't you just sell it as that,
Yeah.
You know, and there were all these things like sci-fi.com, and this is one of the worst movies ever. You should totally watch it.
That's too
He's
bad.
He's totally beating the crap out of Ron Jeremy right there. Ron Jeremy with a wig. Oh, Bill Mumy just got blowed up by Head Wound Guy.
Looks kind of like William Cat now.
It's Head Wound Harry.
From House? Or was it House 2? No, it was just House 1, right? With William Catt. George Wendt was his neighbor.
You know what? All I know William Catt from is that superhero show. Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Where can I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Gosh.
What's that show called? Greatest American Hero.
Yeah,
like
Greatest American Hero. He finds this is a superhero suit, but he doesn't have the instructions.
Yeah.
So he I don't know. I can't see.
Yeah, there was a Spider-Man live-action show that was on about the same time. I thought as that show.
Terrible.
Yeah, I remember. I vaguely remember watching when I was 2 years old. Was it 70s? I'm sure it wasn't the 80s because I was born the last month of 79. So
it was the 70s, I think, or maybe it was the 80s. It was that 80s-70s crossover period we talked about so unfondly because it's more representative of what was popular in the 70s.
Right. It is, but at the same time, there were a lot of great films that came out in that period.
That's
you think
true.
About the films That's like Blade Runner. Jaws was a little earlier, but yeah, totally. The whole Star Wars to the Alien, all that stuff that ended at the late 70s went through. Rambo.
A lot of good movies made in 82.
Yeah.
Star Trek 2 was made in 82.
Right. Was Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Raiders of the Lost Ark was made in 81.
So what was Temple of Doom was 83, 85, 84, 86, 85?
Stop. I think it was 84, 85. You're like, stop. I'm like, stop. Whammy, no whammy.
Oh, look at that. Two-wheeling. Went over on the corner. Well, now that Bill Mumy's dead, where's the tension?
I think Roddy McDowell still is.
One thing that they do wrong in some of these movies is they did it right in Under Siege 2, which is... Maybe they didn't.
They didn't, because the bad guy fight at the end, it's a Steven Seagal thing. With the insufferable scowl, as you've said before.
Right, no, but...
He just takes him out. He does the same thing to Screwhead. He does it twice
I understand
Screwhead.
That. I understand that, but here's the thing. You think that, when you got some corporate bad guy, right?
Yeah.
And then you got his badass bodyguard, which do you think you kill first?
Yeah, exactly.
To get to the end of the movie, right? And they tend to do the bodyguard guy, first.
And then that's kind of anticlimactic.
But it is anticlimactic. Because then he comes up to the weak sauce guy at the end and goes like, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, well, I've still got this button. I can blow up the... Oh! And then he dies before he can push the button.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the dilemma.
Because that is the dilemma. That is the most important question.
It's the action movie.
Philosophers. Voltaire used to talk about this.
What do you do to... what's true justice? Do you have to kill? And if so, if your opponent is some weak little suit, does it just point out that he's just representative of that monster that Steinbeck talked about in Grapes of Wrath?
Sure.
I'm
glad we can bring Voltaire and Steinbeck into this discussion about Under Siege 2.
Or Double Trouble. Wait, what's this? It says, oh my god. Is that what does it say?
Where?
On his cup.
Hang on, I'll rewind it. Stay here.
That's right. You can rewind it. Just pause it, and then you can read it.
Damn, I'm good.
I want a cup that says, damn, I'm good.
I have a rule for you.
What?
So there's rules in movies, right?
Yeah.
Certain things can only happen if this happens. I would like to introduce a new rule to the canon. This was introduced to me by, I was watching High Tension one night.
Okay.
And I was sitting here with my friend Micah, his brother Ben, and my friend Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen that movie?
I've recognized it, but remind me real quick.
It's the French one. Alexandre Aja directed it before he did the Hills Have Eyes remake. Or Aja. I think Aja is how I might pronounce it. I'm probably wrong.
So it's a French action movie?
No, it's a horror film. And it's the main character. There's these two girls, and they go out to the one girl's parents' farm.
Oh, I think I have seen that.
And there's this guy in a van who breaks into the house and kills everyone except for her and her friend, takes her friend in the car, and then she has to, you know.
Yeah, I think I know about
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah. So there's this kid in the family, and the kid runs out into stalks of corn in this farm, as far as the eye can see.
And then Malachi.
And the killer runs after him, walks after him with a gun, and shoots. And a couple of us cringe, like, oh, let's kill that little kid. And my friend Micah, his brother Ben, says, don't worry, you can only get winged in a cornfield. And I said, what? And he said, you can only get winged in a cornfield. And I said, that is fantastic. Where did you come up with this knowledge? He's like, well, there's corn everywhere, and there's stalks, and there's leaves, and you can't really see what you're doing. You can only wing someone. No one ever gets killed. It's shot to death in a cornfield. You can only get winged in a cornfield.
If you're just outside of it, though, all bets are off. Joe Pesci style in the Casino or whatever.
So,
I think that was Bats.
Despite the fact that the kid actually was killed, I'm going to enter into the canon here that you can only get winged in a cornfield.
If you want it to be a believable movie.
Yeah. So from now on, you can only get winged in a cornfield in any movie.
Are they using vacuums to vacuum up diamonds?
Diamonds, yeah. They're diamond thieves.
And then they're going to give them to Oscar, and then Johnny Five's going to have to chase after him?
Please don't ever mention Johnny Five again.
It's going to be like,
I watched Short Circuit 2.
That was what I just referenced, yeah. Short Circuit 2 with Oscar.
I watched the very end of it the other day.
So you know that? Da, da, da,
yeah.
Da, da, da. Did you get to see the part where they beat him up?
Yeah.
It was like the most brutal thing ever, put on film ever. If you count, like, Faces of Death actual documentary stuff.
If you're, like,
or
seven,
anything.
Yeah.
What, he's crying and bleeding to death. And they get it on them?
It should have been rated R,
It should have been rated R.
He tore him limb from limb.
He did.
Poor Johnny Five. He has a soul.
He does have a soul. Poor Johnny Five. He has a soul.
I want to know who played his voice so I can find the person and kill him. I really don't.
What
like
if
Johnny
you find
Five's
out
voice.
It's like Billy West or something?
Are they strong enough to open the doors?
With Jane, Department of Water.
We don't need another hero. We don't need another way home. I'm glad.
All we want is what's beyond the thunder dome. I have that on vinyl because that's the only way I could find it. It's the only way I could find the soundtrack.
Oh my gosh, even on vinyl?
I do.
You know, I think we have it on CD at Kmart, actually.
You do now. You didn't when I was looking for it a couple years ago. Mainly because I wanted the opening song.
Yeah.
The opening song. That's just such an awesome movie. That when that movie just starts.
There's an episode of Mystery Science Theater, going back to that, where they talk about somebody mentioning Thunderdome, and then he says, aren't we beyond Thunderdome? And then they mentioned it a few more times in the episode. Someone mentions Thunderdome again. The other guy goes, "Aren't we beyond Thunderdome?"
I remember.
Haven't we gotten beyond Thunderdome by now?
I remember. What movie was that? Oh, damn! You've got a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, no, we should watch some of them sometime. I've got a ton.
Because
of them.
I love that crap. If I could find the right one, I mean, it's real hit and miss with some of them, though. Some of them,
oh, totally. Like, some of them are, the jokes are fantastic. Some of them, the movie's more enjoyable to watch. There's this one called Deathstalker and the Something from Hell, Warriors from Hell, or something.
Oh my
like that.
Gosh!
And it's just this like old sword and sorcerer thing. And
that might be the one with the hang glider. Oh no, that's not. That's the one where it's like the guy and the kid.
No, it's there's the guy with oh, he just shot somebody. Roddy McDowell just blasted some dude in the head. There's this guy. Oh, you got to watch it with me. It's fantastic. But one of the funniest things is the music goes like this the whole time. And it constantly does that. And so then about halfway through, they start whoever does the Jim Mallon or one of the guys starts going every time it starts. And then they all start doing it. And they kind of just repeatedly throughout the movie, especially toward the end where you can tell they're kind of getting bored.
Yeah.
And they're kind of just all going – yeah, during the credits and stuff. And there's some great jokes in it. And it's just, yeah, that was
the good ones are really good. Hobgoblins and Dead Puma Man are both pretty spectacular. I saw they did one that was like a real movie. They did.
Oh,
Maroon.
You shot the diamonds.
If you've not seen Double Trouble, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, you now want to. You now want to. If you like watching guys who look like Jose Canseco beat up Roddy McDowell, hopefully kill him. Oh, no! He got
damn,
winged.
I lost his
are
side.
They in a cornfield?
He got like the perfect flesh wound too.
Yeah, because that actually might have hit him right here, like pass through where the bone is.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Right in between. Yeah, that one's a fine one. If I'm gonna get shot, I think that's where I'm gonna.
That's where you want to be
no,
shot.
I don't know. You've seen Go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when he shoots that mobster and they catch up to him at the end, the uh-huh. British guy, and he decides, well, he's like, well, listen, fair is fair. How about you just shoot me? And he's like, all right, that's fine, because they were going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he's like, what's the fleshiest part? And, like, he finds, like, I guess he picks, like, right in between the bone and the bicep or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I forget where it was. And then as Katie Holmes is walking out at the end, you hear the gunshot, and she kind of stops. And then the guy is like, I'm fine. Like, you hear him, like, you know, it didn't hurt that bad or whatever.
That movie was pretty all right.
What do you watch when you're doing cocaine?
I don't watch anything. I can't keep my focus. I'm too busy rearranging rat tails. I cut the tails off rats that I have.
Right.
And then I line them all up, you know, pointed ends up.
Sure.
Sometimes I do pointed end up, pointed end down, pointed end up, pointed end down to stagger it a little.
Yeah. That's how I arrange fish sticks on a pan when I put it in the oven.
Exactly.
So, because if they're kind of pointed at one end, then you can kind of offset it by...
Yeah, and you can get exactly. more space.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you must take cocaine too then.